So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And welcome, everybody. It's Dan. Hope you're well today. So, yes, this is not 12 o'clock. I've just got really bad at going live at 12 every day. So I'm like, look, let's just go live whenever I can right now. We've not been live for weeks. And so my podcasts numbers are deteriorating. Anyway, let's talk about property. Let's talk about staying on track. And the reason why I want to talk about this today, and it happens to me as well, by the way, and I know it happens to other people, but it's really easy to just kind of get distracted and you go on to different things and then work gets really busy. Like, you know, the digital marketing agency is just flying right now. We're taking on more customers, which means, you know, we just recruited another web designer. We just recruited another content writer, for example, and we've got more clients coming on. And so it kind of gets distracted onto that. And then we've got a lot of personal stuff going on as well, which is to do with family and daughter and all that kind of thing. So it kind of it's really easy to get really distracted. And the key here is to move that distraction back onto property, because when we think about it and when we look at where are we going, what is the longer term situation? What do we want that to actually be? And it's really easy to get distracted by things like Bitcoin and Dogecoin and all that exciting stuff, because it's exciting and it changes on a daily basis. It goes from 35 cents on Dogecoin up to 70 cents, then back down to 50. And it's like, whoa, it's so exciting. And all you get with property is my fire alarm keeps beeping. I don't know what to do. It's like your battery's run out. Just replace the battery. Isn't that your job? Oh, for God's sake, just replace the battery, you know? Or my boiler's broken, or my dishwasher doesn't work, or I can't get my clothes out of a washing machine. We have to send somebody round and it's user error. And then you have to have an argument about, yeah, you just have to, why did you switch it off? The door mechanism is still locked, you know? And then you have this argument. And so what happens is that with property, it ends up being kind of unsexy. You know, I know that buying property is a sexy thing to do. Buying below market value, negotiating, going and doing a refurb. Boy, it's exciting. And then you get into the longer term management of actual properties and it's pretty dull. And so what happens is, you know, I mean, I have this. What happens is sometimes you get bored. I get bored, you know, I'm in property and nothing happens for weeks. And you're checking email and checking your phone, nothing happens. And you're like, and you're sat and you're waiting for the next thing to happen. And invariably, it's not one thing that happens, it's three things that happen. And it's like your boiler's gone, tenant's done a bunk and not paid. Or even worse, they haven't paid and haven't done a bunk. If you're not going to pay your rent, please do the favor of actually just leaving the property, which makes life a bit easier, well, a lot easier for us. But you know, property can be pretty dull. And so you sat around not doing anything. And so you get distracted because other things are more exciting, like Doge or Bitcoin or the business. And then suddenly, you know, three or four things all happen at once. And then when that happens, when the three or four things happen at once, it's really easy to go, oh, I hate property. Oh, no. Oh, my life is so bad. Like, I know it's not just me that feels like this. I know that other people feel like this as well. And it's like, you know, life's not that bad. Don't let the fact that three things or four things or five things all happen all at the same time, it makes it feel really bad. I mean, you know, property has enabled us to turn on a sixpence with what we want to do in life. And we want to go do something, we can pretty much go do it. It gives us the opportunity to have cash set aside to then invest into something extra or something different. Like this morning, we're inquiring about buying a business on that does LinkedIn lead generation. We're looking at buying a business. And, you know, some of the money comes from property and some of the money comes from our digital marketing agency to go out and buy that stuff. But it's really easy to get into a situation where you're getting problem after problem after problem and you think, oh, I'm just done with this. And, you know, I've actually looked at selling a couple of my properties because the house prices are way up right now. And they'll dip back down once the stamp duty threshold is lifted. There's a stamp duty freedom thing right now, so you don't have to pay it. So, you know, property prices are going up. And when that comes off in June, property prices should drop a little bit and then normalize. We call that a pullback, by the way, in Forex and stock trading and all that kind of thing. So we call it a pullback. And we know it's coming, and it's like we can sell at the top. Like, we think it's the top, like, nobody knows. But, you know, what's the benefit of that? The benefit might be short term. You know, some cash in the pocket. What are we going to do with that? Well, we're just going to buy another investment. So is the next investment better than the current investment? No. Well, what the hell are you doing then? Why would you do that? I'm just bored. It's like when we fast. You know, I've gone through periods where I've been fasting, and you're fasting for 18 hours and you're like, I'm going to break my fast because my stomach is rumbling and I'm starving. And it's not. You're not starving to death. You just, it's called ghrelin. It's just your body's way of saying, hey, you've not eaten for a while. And you're not, your stomach isn't starving to death. It's bored. It's like, shut up, stomach. You're just bored. Do something. Drink some water or whatever. And it's the same on investing. You know, if you're getting bored, it's because you've done a really good job, right? And we kind of forget that. And it's easy to forget that. So I'm going to say that again, because as soon as the words left my mouth, I'm like, oh, my God, that's really good. When you get bored in property, it's not that you're doing a bad job. It's that you're doing a really good job. You're supposed to be bored in property. You're supposed to go pick a different something to go learn. Go learn to paddle surf or crochet or whatever your thing happens to be, because you're doing a really good job. You're supposed to be bored. The whole point of property is that it brings money in when you're asleep, so that when you wake up, the money's already hit the account. And yeah, every so often you're going to have a hiccup with certain tenants. We've got some tenants who are not paying right now, and which is really odd, by the way, because these tenants are like, oh, well, we're really wealthy and we've got great jobs. And it's like, we moved them in, they paid the rent, and the second month they haven't paid. They're like coming up to 2 weeks in arrears. And they're kind of having a pop at me for chasing them. And it's like, you're going to have a bigger pop when you get a money claim online in the next 17 days, because that's when it's scheduled. And then a Section 8 for eviction. You're going to have a bit of a shock. But, you know, these are temporary little things. But absolutely what happens is, it's not that you have one big problem. You have three or four big problems. And then that moves you towards this idea of, oh, property's so hard. And really, in the whole scheme of things, it's not. You know, in the armed forces, they have the saying, which is, hurry up and wait. Get busy waiting, you know, hurry up and wait. And it's exactly the same with property. Stuff doesn't happen for ages, but then, boy, when it does, it's like three or four big things that all happen at the same time. You know, we had a new boiler. We had to spend another £600 on another boiler. We had, what else did we have? Well, we had a room that needed completely gutting because the tenant that moved out had totally trashed it. And so new carpet, new furniture, we pulled everything off the walls, all the wallpaper, re-skimmed all the walls, it's all been painted, new furniture, new carpet, new bed, new curtains. But then we put the rents up, and you know, you can see that as being a bit of a problem, or you can see it as not being a problem. That room had actually not been refurbed for the last 15 years, so actually it needed doing anyway, and it was just the right time. But it's the fact that that happened when we had a big boiler that needed replacing, and then we had another £600 boiler, and then we had this tenant move out. He hadn't paid his rent, and we said, look, just move out, and we won't chase you for your rent. And that's what he did. But he left his room a bit of a tip, and we're now going to claim his bond back, which he's going to complain about, by the way. And this is just part and parcel of being a landlord. And, you know, gurus do not tell you about what it's actually like being a landlord. And something that annoyed me a couple of days ago, one particular guru was saying he was like the UK's most prolific landlord. And we know for a fact that this guy's hardly got any property, which is really funny. But he runs a training company and he's hardly got any property. And the property he has got is a bit of a joke, quite frankly. So, but he's the most prolific property investor in the year. Okay, whatever you say. But they never talk about managing tenants. They never talk about boilers going. And, you know, you only have like three problems in properties. Your boiler's gone, your washing machine's gone, or dishwasher, or insert other electronic mechanical device, or your tenants are being dicks, i.e. they're not paying rent or the trash replaced and so on. That's generally the only three things. Yeah, you might have a roof tile missing every so often and so on. But you might have that as well. But generally, they're the three issues. And usually those three issues all happen at the same time. A tenant doesn't pay, a boiler's gone, and a washing machine needs replacing. We've got set systems for all of that. But it's really easy to get distracted with other things. So, for example, let's talk about Doge for a second. You know, I mentioned it before. It goes from, I mean, we bought into Doge, by the way, when it was 0.04 or 0.004. I can't remember what it was. And so we made some decent money on that. Not that we put a lot of money into it to begin with, but the money that we did put in, we've actually got a fabulous return. We got, I'm not going to tell you what return we got, but we got a good return on our Doge. We got a fabulous return on our Bitcoin. And so I'm not saying that we don't invest in that stuff, or let me rephrase that wording. I'm not saying that we don't gamble money, because it's not an investment, doesn't hit my investment criteria, which is pays a residual income monthly or annually. That's part of my, I should write that down actually. But what is my investment criteria for something to be called an asset? It doesn't meet that. Doge doesn't meet it. Gold doesn't meet it. Bitcoin doesn't meet it, because I can't eat it. It doesn't pay me 4% a year or 2% a year or anything a year. I just have to, you know, if I've got 1,000 Doge and it goes up from 50 pence to a pound, all I can do is sell the asset, right? I can't, you know, so it doesn't meet my investment criteria. But that's not to say that you shouldn't be buying that stuff. You should, but you should only be buying that stuff from spare money. And I know people go, well, no money is spare, and you have a point. But you reach a point where, you know, for example, let's say that you're selling a training course and it's, let's use the example. Let's say the property sourcing training, £27, and we sell 20 of them every month, 540 quid. You might want to take half of that 540 and put it into Doge, for example, or another shit coin or an altcoin. It might be a shit coin, or Bitcoin, or, you know, playing roulette, or whatever it happens to be. But just be aware that that money is money that you're potentially going to lose. And that's what people talk about. I saw a tweet just this week, and it absolutely scared the living crap out of me. And it was because Elon Musk went on Saturday Night Live talking about Doge. Doge just dropped from 75 cents down to 42 cents at one point. It's around 50 cents right now. And one guy bought in at like 65 cents, and he's now operating at 50 cents. And his tweet was, Elon, you're to blame. I put my life savings into this. And I'm like, whoa, why don't just put 50 of your life savings on the roulette table, put it on red or even. It's just crazy. What the heck are you doing? It's just, you know, this is what people are doing. And if you want excitement in your life, go join Fight Club. If you want a solid return that's going to pay you every single month on average, like property, stocks and shares, index funds, FTSE 100, all that boring stuff is exactly what you need. And actually, FTSE 100 is even more boring. There's zero excitement in that industry. If you just dollar cost averaging, putting 200, you know, 500, 1,000 every month into that, it is boring as hell, which is exactly the type of investments that you want. Property is less boring, but still fairly boring, because it's hurry up and wait. And when something eventually does happen, everything goes wrong. And then you kind of go through this emotional rollercoaster of, oh, I don't even want to be in property anymore. We've been there many, many times, and I suspect we'll be there many, many more times. And if you want excitement in your financial world, go invest in Dogecoin and Bitcoin. But you shouldn't be, you know, if you want excitement, you shouldn't be investing in any of that stuff, right? You should be investing in the most boring stuff that comes in every single month, regardless of what you're up to. But people don't do that because they want, you know, they get bored and want more excitement. And it's kind of slow at first, and then it speeds up over time when you start investing in this boring stuff. So, you know, I was working out this morning, setting up another fund of getting, say, to 100,000. Because there's a saying by Warren Buffett. I think it's Charlie Munger, actually, who works with Warren. The two of them are in the Berkshire Hathaway together. And it's like the first 100 grand is a bitch, but you got to do it. So 10% on 100 grand is just 10 grand. You can't live on that. 10% of £1 million, or let's do it different. 10% of 400,000 is 40 grand. You can live on that, right? So 40 grand a year, easily you can live on that. And actually, we'd recommend you just live on 4%, which is about 16,000. But the first 100 grand is hard. But I'm sat here and I'm working out, okay, for this next fund that we want, how do we get to 100 grand? What's the best way of doing it? Where's that money going to come from? So let's pull a grand off, let's say, property, let's say. Let's say we pull a grand out of business. So there's 2 grand a month. Like that's going to take 50 months now. So it's nearly 4 years. How can we speed that up? How can we increase that? So what if we increase the number of clients that we've got with a digital marketing agency, and instead of just pulling a grand and putting it into that specific fund, what if we pulled out an extra 2 grand and put it into that specific fund? Now we're saving 4 grand a month. 4 grand times 24 is it's about 100 grand, right? Let's do the maths. 4 times 24 months is 96,000. There's your 100 grand. So now it's like, okay, how do we get the 4 grand? What do we need to do? Is that 10 clients at £400 a month? You know, the money matrix, what we go through. So at first, it might start at £500 a month or £50 a month, but then you get to 500, then you get to 1,000, then you get to 1,500, then 2,000 and so on. And it does start slow, but then it accelerates. But that's what investing is. When you're getting a 10% return, which is amazing, by the way, on just £10,000, you're like, why the heck am I doing this? It's 100 quid a month. What's the point? And it's true. That's exactly how you feel. But then you get to the 100,000. Then you get to 200,000, 300,000, 400,000. The rewards come later. This is what investing is. One of my biggest mistakes ever is not saving up early. Is not allocating £200-300 a month every single month into my long-term assets. Because it was explained badly. It's explained in terms of pension. And when you're 23, 24, you're like, pension? I don't need a pension. I don't care what happens when I'm 55. I'm 48 now. I worry about what happens when I'm 55. And we're lucky we've got property and so on. But we want to absolutely ramp up our investments and where the money's going to come from, so that when we get to that point, we don't have to worry about that stuff. So, you know, big mistake, but it's because it's sold to us in terms of boring investing for boring pensions. You know, you think property is not that interesting, and you think index funds isn't that interesting. Wait till you invest in pensions. You're putting £100 a month away forever for 30 years' time, and you feel like you're never going to get there. Except, I've got to tell you, that when you're coming up to pensionable age, and I'm not pensionable age, 65, as yet, but when you start looking at that and what that's going to look like, you do thank I'm so grateful. You thank yourself. I'm so grateful for the fact I started investing in property at age 26. 22 years we've been in this, and the principles of investing haven't changed in all those 22 years. You put money in, you get a return, the prices and houses go up. You might want to refinance, pull some more out to buy some more. But at some point, you're going to want to start paying down some properties, wrap it into a trust, then you can pass it on to your kids, all of that good stuff. But you've got to stay on track with your property investments. It's so easy to simply forget and get bored and all that sort of thing. So this is what you should be doing. If you're bored in investing, go join Fight Club. Learn to scuba dive, learn to ski, learn to ride rodeo. Get your excitement from different places. If you want to invest for the long term, start off small, start off regular, start building it up over time. Then when you've got enough, move that money into your first buy-to-let property as soon as you can. It may be that you are buying your first house. Use the government's 5% scheme. Get a 10% deposit. You know, on a 10% deposit on a 100 grand house, it's £10,000. Like, how fast can you save up 10 grand? And then this is what you do. You buy the house, you move your mates in, they then generate more money. Now you're not paying rent. Now you've got a cheap mortgage. Now your mates are paying you. Now you can accelerate some of those results. That's exactly what I did going back 22 years. Anyway, I'm going to call in the next 8 minutes. I hope that's useful. And hopefully we'll be live again later on this week. We should be live on the Mindset and Hustle Show on Friday. Fingers crossed we'll make that. And we'll speak to you then. My name's Dan Latta. Have yourselves a good day. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.